Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show. Here on Monday, March the 7th of 2022, and I am your host, the Miracle Man. And oh my goodness, it's been forever. It's been forever, nearly 3 weeks. I meant to do a show last Monday, but we had technical difficulties in the way, but then we had the conference and that, but then we're back. So as I've heard before, so I'm going to say it this way, I've been in a whirlwind, which is another way of saying, you know, I've been busy. Sometimes my pastor says it this way, like if he's been gone for a bit, you know, to back it up a bit, but first off, I went to Florida, and I have to tell you, it was tremendous. As far as the weather, it was tremendous when I was there. For the most part, it was in the 80s most of that week, and never rained once. Let me rephrase that. The one time it rained, it was in the middle of the night, not during the day, and it didn't really amount to much. And so, it was, that's what had happened. It had rained a little bit in the middle of the night, but for the most part, most of the days it was sunny and warm. In fact, they told me that last full day I was there, someone at this donut shop that I had went to, and they actually did something real cool for me that I'd wondered if they could do. It was a well-known ice cream shop and was also known for donuts. So I asked them if the girls could make me a nice donut sundae, and they said yes, and they obliged, and they made one for me. But these girls told me that, like, the day I was there, like that day, it had been 85 degrees. The normal high for that day, 75 degrees. 10 degree difference. And so it was real nice. I had been to, went to the beach a few times, the outdoor pool at my hotel a few times. I did get to go see Rodney Howard Brown. And yes, he is now talking about the Heaps again, the double Heaps this year. Amen, because this is the year of the double. And he first started talking about the Heaps last year because God had showed it to him. And so this is round two of the Heaps. 5 months of Heaps. And what I'm going to do tomorrow when I discuss, you know, the sowing into the Miracle Man program. When I do that tomorrow, I'm going to share with you, I'm going to read you and show you those two different scriptures. One of them is found in 2 Chronicles 28, where it talks about, like, how the churches were shut down, but then they were only open for a certain reason and all that. And then in 2 Chronicles 31, where it talks about the Heaps. And it's for March, April, May, June, July. 5 months of Heaps. Heaps, as they say. I like to say it like eeps, like, and I love the sound of when I hear that congregation out loud yell, eeps. In fact, yesterday, they're going to have a certain women's conference this month, but he first asked, you know, what is this month? Yesterday morning. He asked it yesterday morning. Of course, yesterday morning, I was at church, so I watched it later. But you know what everyone said instead of saying the minister's conference? I mean the women's conference? They all said heaps. And he's like, yeah, the heap. He's like, yes, it's the heaps, but we'll get to that a little bit later. But for right now, you know, he's talking about the women's conference at that moment. It's a powerful thing there. And when I was there, he talked about what our number one purpose is. And part of that is, you know, to win souls. And so, you know, Dr. Brown is someone who of course, his name is not Dr. Buckley, but I do have great respect for him. Just like how I greatly respect Dr. Buckley, who is my pastor. The reason why I mentioned him first is about Dr. Brown, is because he was telling you about how it was when I was in Florida. And so it was just nice time. I went to the Brandon Mall, that mall I told you about that had a 7-Eleven inside the mall, which I thought was a neat thing to have. Now I see that there's a mall in the Chicago area that has one. I hope it's actually inside of it and not just outside of it somewhere. Because then that would make two malls like that. But those of you who may be my age, a bit younger, a bit older, either way, may recall time spent, we'll say a few years ago, in a mall like Midland, it would have been several years ago. But even in some of your bigger malls, like even Saginaw, there'll be kids on the weekends doing it now. They might be going through the mall, drinking one of those slushies. And by slushies, I mean like those, maybe a slushie from Annie Ann's. Maybe you're lucky to have one of those malls that has, you know, Julius in it like we used to have. Doggone it, it's gone. And, but you'd see these young folk, even college students or other folk. I don't know why I always think of it as the young folk doing it, but they'd be going through the mall with these slushy drinks or these, s- smoothies or like from, no, I'm not talking about Starbucks. I'm talking about something else. We don't, Midland Mall doesn't have anywhere anymore where you can have said drinks going through the hallway. But 7-Eleven, now they have the actual Slurpees. I've asked multiple people this question. Multiple people. They have all told me that they would rather have the Slurpee from 7-Eleven than have, like, those wannabe slushies from, like, Annie Ann's or what have you. They'd rather have the actual 7-Eleven Slurpee. Which I think is pretty cool. So I would say to every mall owner, put a 7-Eleven in your mall. But why not put it somewhat near the food court? Because the price was right. It was rather similar to a regular 7-Eleven. It wasn't like $3.50, $3 to get one of those slushy things like what Annie Ann's would want. No, $2. Before tax, it's actually more like $1.89 or something like that. For the that 32-ounce 7-Eleven Slurpee. For 20 ounces, probably less than that. So, not bad. And I think the 7-Eleven actual Slurpee is better than those other wannabes. But and I even think the McDonald's frozen Coke is better. It would be better than the Annie Ann's one. I don't know. Even though I've had the one from McDonald's, which is pretty good. Too bad they don't make it so you can fill it up. Like you can actually fill up the 7-Eleven machines. I like the 7-Eleven lids that have those holes in them, so you can fill it right up to that hole. My two pet peeves about the 7-Eleven Brandon would be that they didn't have the holy lid, those lids with that big hole in them. My second one would be it was basically on the opposite end of the mall as the food court. And I'd rather them be in a main hallway somewhere right near the food court. And so or maybe if you close your Annie Ann's, what you do is make it a 7-Eleven Slurpee place. And they just have drinks and what have you. And we did, but we did go to, and we also did go to Bahama Breeze twice, and they had some good food here. I really liked this. I'm going to call it like this tropical bowl. It had shrimp and pineapple in it. It was so delicious. And then I also had coconut shrimp the other time I went, which I went there. That was basically one of the first places I went to after we left the airport when we got there. We even went to Bahama before we went to the hotel. Because obviously after a long flight like that, 3-hour flight, you're hungry. And depending on what airline you flew on, you may or may not have gotten a snack. That was Pretty cool. And so, it was just a nice time to get away. Here at home, they had a big ice storm while I was in Florida. So I was glad that I missed that. And the day that my parents, that me and my mom left, it was snowing in Midland. No, it was snowing in Detroit area. It was later snowing in Midland, but it was going to start snowing in Detroit area. And my dad came to Detroit, came to Tampa 2 days later, but me and my mom both felt like we had really escaped something. It was almost like the flight to Tampa was not quite, but almost like the escape out of jail. That's the way I'm going to say it. But anyhow, it was, like I said, it was a really nice time. I really enjoy Florida. Enjoyed getting to go there again. And, now about the Holy Spirit Conference. That was really good. During the morning sessions, Dr. Barclay talked about different kinds of gifts, including like the gifts of the Spirit. I will talk about that some more tomorrow. During the evenings, he would teach very little, but he did. It had a really strong anointing where he was praying over certain types of people every night. Friday night, he laid hands on all of us. Thursday night, he laid hands on all the fivefold and the second tier. Wednesday night, he ordained a couple. He ordained someone. Tuesday night, I forgot who he had anointed, but still, it was a really good thing. And then one night he was calling out things that people could be healed from. Another night he talked about, you know, being for people to be healed of addictions. Including for people to, for people to be delivered from things. And so it was, and the worship was tremendous too. And it was just, it was real well attended too, was the other thing I had noticed. I didn't remember it being that full in the mornings at any time. At night, I had seen it fuller back in the 1990s, but in the morning, never like this. Which tells me people were in it for real. And so, great when people enter in. But I want to mention to you something that Dr. David Flores, he stood over, he stayed over after the conference so we could preach yesterday morning at Living Word Church, my church. And he told us something that I think is really important. This is the biggest nugget I got from him. Every service you come to, something with you. Take something with you. Now in the worship, you know, worship is great. Praise is great. Awesome. Love both. Praise and worship, great. But that's for God. You praise and worship God. When an altar call is given, like for certain things, or they call out certain things to be delivered from, or what have you, maybe, whatever you may be freed from or delivered from or what have you, that stays at the altar. That doesn't go home with you. Tithes and offerings, that's for God. When the word is taught, when exhortation is given, anytime that like golden nuggets are given or, you know, the word of God is studied, you can, there's things in that that you can glean from and take home with you. And so whenever you go to your local church, take something home with you from that service. And I'm talking beyond just asking yourself, what did I learn in church tonight? What did I learn in church this morning? Take something home with you that you can put to practice in your life. Another thing he said was, oh, you want breakthrough? There's opportunities for a breakthrough in every service, but you have to want that breakthrough. You have to really be wanting that breakthrough, really be expecting it. And not just da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, going through the motions. No, you have to be expecting, believing. That's the way I see it. That's what Dr. Flores said. I'll be going through later tonight and tomorrow, looking, listening to some more of the conference and stuff. And be watching some of it and to try to give you a few more things that you can glean from it. And I want to go into our two normal announcements, the two normal things that we talk about as far as, you know, the book and the sowing of the seed. Then I want to get into a bit of worship and then get to the word of the Lord, in which we are starting. We are continuing on in the book of John. Now, on Valentine's Day, we had started that, and we talked about love. Day two, the day after that, we did chapter one. Tonight, we're going to do chapter two. And then which will be the miracle of turning the water into wine. And then we'll see where all the Lord takes us with that. And so praise God. Now, two quick things that I want to remind you about. First of all, I want to remind you about the book. Praise God. The books have been selling. A little more. Praise God for that. Now, if you're listening to this program, you can go online to the website riversofmiracles.com to find out information about the book. The book costs $15. You can go online to riversofmiracles.com. Again, that is R-I-V-E-R-S of miracles.com in order to buy that book. Let that book be a blessing into your life. And after you read it, why not bless, give it to someone else? Praise God. And it's the story of my life and how great God has been. And tells a little bit about my mom's story, too, and how she had been delivered of some from some things before she gave birth to me. So you not only get healings like the healings that I've experienced in there, you also have part of like how my mom got delivered from some things. So it's a great story. It's a great read. Highly recommend you read that book. And so go to that website, order a book, or order two, one for yourself, one to give away to someone else. The other thing I want to remind you about is the PayPal. You can go online to paypal.com in order to sow a seed into the Miracle Man program. And whatever seed you sow just helps keep us going. And if you want this to continue, keep sowing. Just keep sowing. Keep sowing seed. And as you sow a seed, I pray over that seed. I call you blessed. And this is very good ground, very fertile ground. And to sow a seed, you go online to paypal.com, and in the search bar, you type in my name, Rivers Shukla. Rivers Shukla. R-Y-V-E-R-S. And the last name is Shukla, S-H-U-K-L-A. I need you to keep in mind, please, that the first R in Rivers and the S in Shukla are both capitalized. The other thing I want you to keep in mind, secondary to that, is that there is a space between Rivers and Shukla. So I don't want you to forget that. I would that you would remember that. What I mean by that, when I said like I would, like I hope you remember that. Alright? Keep in mind. So keep that in mind. The other thing I want you to know. No, I'm good. The other thing I want you to take note of is the verse. My verse that I want to sow into your life tonight is give, and it shall come back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. Praise God for that. And so, I'm gonna get into a couple of them. Worship. I'm going to sing a couple songs, and then we're going to get into the word of the Lord. I've read the last chapter. I've read the fireplace. Devil, you might as well quit me. We both know how it makes. Devil, you might as well quit. We both know how it makes. I want resurrection power. I'm with the spirit. Ain't no way I'm walking down and backing down. I walk in signs and wonders. Savior's only me. I'm running more than a conqueror. Ain't no way I'm backing down. I walk with the Savior. His blood is in my veins. Devil, you might as well quit. We both know how I'm saved. I'm my Savior. His blood is in my veins. Devil, you might as well quit. We both know how it may. I'm on. I'm in the spirit. Ain't no way I'm backing down. I walk in signs and wonders, greater ones in me. I'm more than a conqueror. Ain't no way I'm backing down. I know who I am. I know what I am. I am who I am. Ain't no way I'm backing down. I know what I am. I know who I am. I know whose I am. Ain't no way I'm backing down. I know what I am. I know who I am. I know whose I am. Ain't no way I'm backing down. I know what I am. I know who I am. I know whose I am. Ain't no way I'm backing down. I'm born walking the spirit. Ain't no way I'm backing down. I walk in signs and wonders. The greater ones in me. I'm more than a conqueror. Ain't no way I'm backing down. I'm filled with the spirit. Ain't no way I'm backing down. I walk in signs and wonders. The greater ones in me. I'm filled more than a conqueror. Ain't no way I'm backing down. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You see, that song that I just showed you is a song from the conference that the worship leaders had. They had sang it at a previous conference this year. The San Diego one. I think it's real powerful. And that one will be back. I just got to remember a few more of the lyrics on it. But still talks about, you know, how we should walk in signs and wonders. We should. We shouldn't walk in fear. The greater one lived on the inside of us, who is Jesus. And we shouldn't back down. We shouldn't back down. We shouldn't just back down, quit. And so
settlers. Powerful. Song at that. From the conference. Of course, there were other great songs too. And love another Clint song. Tomorrow night. So what made me think of this was to kind of give you a taste of what was going down at the Holy Spirit Conference. Well, for now, we're going to get into another song. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. May his faith. Nope, back up. Lord bless you again. The Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you. He is with you in the morning, in the evening, in the coming, in your going, in your weeping and rejoicing. He is for you. 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 Yeah. We thank you, Lord God. You are the way maker. You're the promise keeper. You are the light to our darkness. That is who you are. Thank you, Lord God, that your hand is on us tonight. We worship you and we praise you for what you are, for what you've done in our lives, for what you're going to do in our lives. We thank you that you go before us all the time, that we have power over sin, power over darkness, power over, that we can speak to our circumstances. Thank you, Lord God, that you are just making a way where it seems to be no way. And I just love you, Jesus. Thank you, Master, that you are here for us. Thank you, Lord God, for this time tonight in your word. Pray, Lord God, that your spirit, that through your spirit, you would reveal things to us tonight, that you would reveal things to each listener tonight, that those who are not saved, those who do not know you, Jesus, you, my Jesus, as their personal Lord and Savior, may they give their life to you in your name, Jesus, and may they decide to live for you with everything they have. Thank you for the time and the word tonight, that you'll use me as an oracle to deliver your word. And so, thank you, Master, that these listeners, that every need is met. You know what these listeners have need of, and I thank you that you meet all of their needs, whatever these needs are. You know what they need, even when I don't. You know what they need. And I thank you, Lord, for that. That you heal their bodies, heal their minds, touch their minds. And I thank you for that, Master. I make my confession over this program tonight. I say that sponsors come into this program, that finances come into this program, that increases in listenership come to this program, that this audience doubles and triples and even beyond that. And I thank you, Lord God, most of all for the huge amount of souls coming into your kingdom as a result of this great program. In Jesus' matchless name, amen and amen. Let's make our Bible confession now, if you want, because the Bible says we can have the fruit of our lips. So let's say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what the word says I can do. Today I will be taught the word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. Never, never, never. This Bible is more than a storybook to me. More than a religious book to me. And more than a history book to me. Tonight, I do believe that I will receive absolutely everything that God has for me tonight. In the name of Jesus. Now, I'm going to take a real quick station ID. But while I do that, open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of John, chapter 2. Praise God. So we'll be going to John, chapter 2. Station ID, I will be right back.
Praise God. We're back. Now, as I said, we're going to John chapter 2. Hallelujah. John 2. Soon as Miracle Man starts it, finds it, then we will start to read. Praise God, I found it. Let's read. Now on the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" In other words, Jesus is basically saying, "Well, how does this concern me?" He's like, "Mother, why does this concern me?" Continue. And Jesus replied, "My time has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Nearby, there were 6 stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding anywhere from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water. Fill the water pots with water." So they filled them up to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." So they took it. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then brings out the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best until now." This was the first of his miraculous signs that Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. Before I get into this next passage where it talks about Jesus clearing the temple and what happens in that, let's talk about this whole wine thing. Folks, this is God's new wine. Doesn't say how it became wine. It says that it became wine. And the master tastes the wine and he's like, "Look, you saved the best until now." And it's like, they think it's the coolest thing. Which it was. It's the first of his miracles. And I love what Jesus' mother said and told those servants. "Whatever he says unto you, do it." Oh, it's just Mary, Jesus' mother, talking to the servants, just telling them, "Whatever he says unto you, do it." No. That verse says, whatever he, meaning God, whatever the Lord Jesus says unto us, when he tells us to do something, we should do it. Obey him. And what if he gives you a timeline? Like, do it now. Do it by such and such. Well, one of the greatest ways I know of to get the blessing of God on your life is to obey God. I'll continue reading. We'll come back to this. Verse 12. After this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother and brothers and his disciples. There they stayed for a few days. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found men selling cattle and doves and others sitting at tables exchanging money. Uh-oh. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple area, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here. How dare you turn my father's house into a market?" His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." Then the Jews demanded of him, "What miraculous sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this?" Jesus announced them. He told them, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." And the Jews replied, "It has taken us 46 years to build this temple. Yet you are going to raise it in 3 days?" But the temple he had spoken of was his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. Now, while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many people saw the miraculous signs that he was doing and believed in his name. But Jesus would not entrust himself, for he knew all men. He did not need man's testimony about man, for he knew what was in a man. We'll read the first passage of chapter 3 where Jesus teaches Nicodemus. Now there was a man of the Pharisees, named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and he said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one could perform the miraculous signs that you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. And the Spirit. And the Spirit. Now, verse 6. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, when I say, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it is coming from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus. You do not understand these things. I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know, and we testify by what we have seen. But still, you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. Now let's stop there. When we come back tomorrow, we will start with John 3:16 and continue on from there. So what you saw was, so after the whole Jesus turned the water into wine, Jesus goes to the temple. And what he sees is people who are selling things. They are selling animals. There are more money changers. Not sure if they were just changing currency for currency, or if there was possibly even gambling going on. I'm not sure. It doesn't actually exactly say, but he made a whip out of cords because he did not like what he was seeing. He was so mad that he overturned their tables. Into the benches of those who sold the doves, he had yelled out, get these out of here. And he says, how dare you turn my father's house into a market? Or how the New King James Version says, how dare you turn it into a house of merchandise? And what do I think of when I think of a house of merchandise? I think of it as a place of retail. We buy things and This might have been like a flea market type thing. Might have been a mall. Might have been a... Doesn't say how big the temple was. But... And then the disciples remembered what had been written, you know, zeal for your house will consume me. We should be zealous. We should be happy to go to the house of God. Should be the highest house we go to. Should be the supposed to be the highest house of all houses. Say, what do you mean the highest of all houses? Of course, higher than your house. Should be higher than the stadium. Or some people might call it, you know, the football house, the baseball house, the basketball house. You say, why did you call those stadiums a house? Only in the sense of you might hear of something like the house that Lou Gehrig built, or the house that, actually it's the house that Babe Ruth built, as they say, figuratively speaking, because he made it famous. And so, but the house of God is to be seen as, should be seen as the greatest of all houses, higher than any monument. Amen. And so, that's why we have to respect the house of God. We have to respect the things of God. Don't go into the house of God like it's the event center. Or the movie show. Or something like that. No, it's higher than that. You know, back to about the turning water into wine. It took the servants doing what Jesus told them to do for that water to be turned into wine. In order for that to happen, those servants had to do what Jesus told them to do. Because Mary had told them, whatever he says to you, do it. He didn't say, think about it. He didn't say, she didn't say, you know, do it in a week, 2 weeks, a year. No, she said, whatever he, meaning Jesus, whatever he tells you to do, do it. Not pray about it. Do it. So he said, you know, fill all these jars with water. Easy enough instruction. So they filled all six of those jars, anywhere from 20 to 30 gallons. If we were to average it out, we could say 25 gallons per jar. So if we just average it out, we can say 150 gallons of water. Wine was made out of that. They obeyed God. They obeyed what Jesus told them to do. They obeyed. What if they didn't and were like, if they were like, well, how is this going to make wine? We don't know if it'll make wine or not. All we're doing is filling jars with water. But then he says, draw some of this out, take it to the master of the feast. They could have said, oh, it's just water. All we did is fill jars with water, and we're just going to have them taste the water. They could have questioned it. But they didn't. They just took it, took some of that, and gave it to the master of the feast. And he tasted the wine that had been water. The water was turned into wine by Jesus. And they drank it. And he's like, this is the best wine. This is the best. This is about the new wine. This isn't about, okay, let's all get drunk tonight. No, I don't want you to get out of this. It's whatever he says to you, do it. And this thing about treating the house of God with respect, like I said about how they had turned, how the father's, how the house, how the temple had been turned into a house of merchandise, a big market like that. And he overturned the tables. I wonder, Shelley, what if there was a McDonald's in there? Do you think would he overturn that too? If there was a McDonald's in that temple? Do you think that would have been overturned too? Yeah, but it's in the food court. And nope, he wouldn't have. Maybe outside or something, but not in the sanctuary. And so he said, zeal for your house will consume me. So let's discuss what we read about in chapter 3. Now in chapter 3, we're reading about how Jesus was teaching Nicodemus. Nicodemus had asked, you know, well, Jesus, you know, he's basically like, Jesus, how do we enter the kingdom of God? Basically, he was like, well, you know, how do you get born again? He's like, we know that we can't just be put in our mother's womb a second time and then come out again. So it's like, Jesus, what do you mean by we must be born again? Which it's true, we must be born again. There's only one way to heaven. And by the way, it's not on roller skates. It's not on a bike. It's not on a bus. It's not on anything like that. There's no second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, tenth, 20th way to heaven. One way to heaven, and it's through Jesus. You say, why'd you get all riled up when you mentioned the roller skates and the bike and what have you? Oh, when I was little, I had heard a song about, I was like, oh, you can't get to heaven on roller skates. Oh, you can't get to heaven on roller skates. Or whatever. I forget what it was. He's like, you can't get there on roller skates. And I wouldn't want any of you kids thinking, you know, you can get there on rollerblades, roller skates, a bike, however else. Nope, it's through Jesus. And so, let me just check the clock. The one way to heaven is through Jesus. Flesh gives birth to flesh. The spirit gives birth to spirit. That is why you have to ask Jesus Christ into your heart. That is the only way to go to heaven. You have to say it. No one else does it for you. Have to do it. Now it does, now it does say, you know. Now, of course, Nicodemus, in order to enter the kingdom of God, you know, in order to be born again, you do have to first be born of water. So that means, in other words, you're not automatically born again once you're born. So moms to be, if you're pregnant for your first child, and maybe you just got saved, I wouldn't want you to think of this idea of, well, my kid will already be saved when he comes out of my womb. No. Now, if you raise up a Christian home, but that child will have to ask Jesus Christ into their heart. That is how they become born again. That is how they become born again. And then you have to live for Jesus. And that's required in order to make heaven. Unless you're very, very young and you die at a very young age, at a point where you can't yet make an account. Let's say you just die as an infant, or you die as a toddler. Maybe you're like 3 or 4. Then you possibly do make heaven. If you die, say, after the age of accountability, whatever that is, if you're accountable and you've had opportunities to give your life to Jesus and you don't do it, and then you die, according to the Bible, you don't make heaven. And I don't want to see you go to hell. I do not want to see you go to hell. I want to see you make heaven. But in order to do that, you have to be born again. Even if you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior 10 seconds before you die. So I just love my Jesus so much, and I want to see you. I know. Make heaven. So, Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word tonight. And I just thank you for every one of these listeners who has tuned in. And I pray, Lord God, that they will take this word, they will put it into practice. Thank you that we'll be obedient to whatever you tell us to do, whatever it pertains to, that we'll just be obedient to you, rather than to just be about what our flesh says, what our flesh thinks, what our flesh wants, that we'll do whatever you tell us to do. And that we will also have zeal for you, for your house, respect for you, your house. Because obedience can lead to respect and honor. And thank you that we can be born again. As we are to be born again. As we have to, and I thank you, Lord God, that we will just thank you, Lord God. I pray that everyone who has tuned into this broadcast tonight knows you as their Lord and Savior. And I thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing in each one of us. And give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory for that. In Jesus' matchless name, amen and amen and amen. Until tomorrow night, God first, God always. So long, everybody, and I will see you all tomorrow. So long, everybody.